Blog Talk Radio.
Hebrews 13.
Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen.
This letter is concluded.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We thank God for you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today we're going to be talking about, we're going to continue our talking about evangelism and reaching the church and doing outreach and get the body of Christ getting outside the four walls of the building. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We have a technical difficulty here. Hold on.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir? Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Good morning, sir. God bless. I can hear you clearly.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right. It's live radio. It's live radio. It seems like something happens every day. Every day.
Yes, sir.
But
yes,
amen.
Sir.
We are here live. We are here live this morning. And again, Brother Allen, thank you for joining us and being part of the conversation. If you called in at 646-668-2636, you can press 1 on your keypad, join the conversation, ask a question. For those of you listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, we'd like to thank you for joining us. You can call in and or inbox us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and we can see your questions, answer your questions, respond to your questions, and you can be part of the conversation. Amen? Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about evangelism. preparing the church for evangelism. We've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks or so, and we went to evangelism boot camp that we did about was it four shows there. We covered five different talking points about evangelism, us as the body of Christ. And let me say this first to get us back on track for those who maybe this might be your first time calling in, or just give a refresher. When we talk about the church, we're talking about the individuals in the body of Christ. We're not talking about the building. We're not talking about your church, your local congregation. We're talking about the body of Christ and what we need to do as the church to get outside the four walls of worship and go and reach the lost, reach the world, fulfill the Great Commission, and be able to be salt and light in the community. And we can only do that if we are in the community. The Bible teaches us that we're not of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. But we have to be salt and light in the midst of what's going on in people's lives, in the communities, that we can be the voice. We can be the voice of God, the voice of righteousness. We can be the voice of correction. There's a lot of things that believers can be in the midst of this culture. Because remember that we are here. We are called to witness to and save souls and bring individuals to the body of Christ. And when we bring individuals to the body of Christ, this is how cultures change. This is how government changes, is by individuals giving their heart and believing in Jesus Christ and living a life consistent to his word. This is how we change things. It's not about political influence. Because if we look at the history of the church is still here, and the Roman Empire is gone. The church is still here, and all the other cultures that were around them at the time that persecuted them are no longer here. But the church of Jesus Christ and his word still endures. So that's where we take hope. Because America, I know some people might not like it, but you know, America is not destined to be who America is forever. All the countries of the world. But again, if we are students of history and we see what God has done since after the flood and how the world has changed when it comes to politics, peoples, countries, boundaries, and borders, but yet the word of God endures in his word, and Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still our Savior, and he's going to be a Savior for our children and our grandchildren. But we have to be able to share the gospel and be prepared to share the gospel. Amen? Amen. I just want to plant that seed in our beginning monologue, because we're not going to be so intense going forward from here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Elder, you still with me?
I'm with you, sir, as always, with you, ready to... you said not so intense.
Amen.
I'm gonna go ahead and unbutton this clergy collar.
There you go. Take the clergy. Yeah, take the clergy. We did the clergy part at the beginning, so we can get it out the way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But again, so what I'm gonna start with, because as we prepare again, you know, this is the winter season. Everybody's getting ready to lock in and tie down for the winter. It's January. The holidays are over. We're getting back into our flows. But as being men of vision, as pastors, as church leaders, and even as individuals, are we preparing ourselves to go and witness? Even in the midst of this, are we preparing ourselves to witness? And I think one of the things in the body of Christ we have to do is we have to be able to give our testimony. Because, again, we can't really evangelize people by giving them the word and quoting scriptures and trying to beat them and antagonize them and guilt them into the body of Christ. We have to be able to give our testimony in a clear and precise way. And today we're going to talk about some things. I just want to encourage those out there, because, you know, well, we all have a heart. We may have a heart to evangelize, may have a heart to share the gospel, and we might even want to share our testimony. But there's some things that we do in the body of Christ that can turn people off too. And as I was studying and preparing for this, I thought of something. I want to put it out there, and I'm come to you, Elder, that we prepare and we rehearse for almost everything we do in life. If it's job interviews, if we're going to stand before people and give a presentation on our jobs, if you're in sales, you know, we prepare on how we're going to give a sales presentation. If we are teachers, we prepare our lesson plans on how we're going to stand before those, you know, and it's the same thing. And I think what we do, because in the past, I've been to church a while, and I've been to some testimony services and heard people's testimonies. And, you know, doing stuff out of emotion, there needs to be a balance. But if we are looking to evangelize and to go out and share to a lost world, I think we have to do the same preparation we would do if we're preparing a resume to go out and do an interview for a job interview. You know, you just don't walk in job interviews looking like nothing, saying anything, and not having answers to the questions. And our resume is our testimony of what is God, who is God, who we were before God, and all of it, our whole lives until this point. So when we're talking to someone, that we are trying to convey the love, the kindness, the grace, the mercy of God. And how do we do that in a way that people can hear? And like, you know, I say, you know, it's not about quoting a bunch of scripture, because again, the word of God is for the believer. The unbeliever is not going to get, is not going to understand the word of God. It's not going to have the same effect. So let me come to you, Elder. You know, when we talk about preparing to go out and witness our testimony, what do you think of some of the things that we should look at? And because this is all about preparation. This is all about being discipled and being taught. You know, we can't assume everybody knows how, because sometimes people do what they've seen. And if you've seen testimonies, people giving testimonies, you know, some of that stuff you don't want to pick up. So what do you say, sir? It's about sharing our testimony or preparing ourselves to be able to share it.
I believe that one of the first parts of your testimony, and like you said, an article you shared with me, we'll, you know, of course, get further, deeper into, when you said like a resume, your testimony should be just like that. You know, it opens with who you are, just your name, you know, who you are, your location, kind of where you are in life right now. And it's like an open book where somebody can just read through a list or listen to what you give them. And that's a part, I think the biggest part of it is transparency, that you're willing to just really share the truth about who you are, what God brought you through, where you are, and admittedly that we're all, I don't care if you're the apostle or if you're the janitor, if you're the, you know, the proclaimed professed Christian or a new babe in Christ, we all have a place and we all have a story. But when we're transparent about it and letting someone else that we're trying to talk to about, we're trying to tell about the glory of God, about who God is, as we're trying to evangelize, when we're transparent, we're letting them know, we're still a work in progress. There's still things God is working on us, and that nobody's got it all together. But as we're transparent, as we're willing to show who we are in our lives, the mess that was us, the things that we still, the vices we still fight with, the things we still struggle with, letting somebody know those things in the midst of your testimony is a way to share who God is. That's the easiest way to evangelize, because you don't have to have some, you know, you don't have to give somebody all these scriptures and then you can't explain them, or you give quote all these stories and all these characters of what Job did and who David is and Isaiah and the prophet Elijah, and you go through all that and the person looks at you like, well, what does that mean for me? But if you were able to tell a person, you know, I was an alcoholic, but God cleaned me up. And every day I still am, you know, praising God for my sobriety. I'm still going through. I still have temptations, but the God I serve has made it easier, has brought me through that challenge. Somebody's going to receive that story of you rather than you trying to give them all these scriptures. Not to say that the scriptures we need to know the scripture. We need to know the word of God. We need to apply it, and we need to be able to share it. But our testimony, an open transparency of who we are, allows people to see what God is doing with us, and it's something that they can relate to. Some people will never be able to relate to the Bible in the first conversation. Some people who are well-versed will know every scripture just as you begin to quote it and can quote it along with you. Others need to hear who you are so they know what God did for you, so they can understand what God can possibly do for them or will do for them. Back to you, sir.
I agree, sir. You're absolutely right. And that's where we have to start, transparency. Let me say this. I'm going to put this out here to the body of Christ and for those who are listening. You know, if you're not ready to be honest and open and transparent, you're not ready to be able to witness for Jesus Christ. Let me say it just like that. Because if you want to keep secrets, keep who you used to be, keep the things you've done, the things that God delivered you from, if you don't want nobody to tell, if you want people to see you as, what's the word I want to use? I don't know. You want people to see you as a Christian icon or the example, then you're not really ready to evangelize. I suggest you stay home, pray about it, and don't go with the evangelism team. Stay back, make sandwiches, do something else. Because I think that transparency, because it's in Scripture. If we read scripture, if we read the scripture about the people that God used, if we read the scripture about the 12 disciples, if we read the folk in the Old Testament, their lives were not perfect. Their lives, they didn't live the holiness life that here, especially in this 21st century, we try to portray the church as. And then every day, that's getting knocked down because of the crazy and silly things that people do. However, again, when evangelism is a personal thing, so if you're not ready to be really transparent in who you are when you're speaking to people, because like the elder said, there's something that you've been through that somebody's going through that they need to know that God can, and God, that they are worthy and valuable to God no matter because of what they've gone through. And if you're not willing to be transparent in the struggles that you had or may be in, or, you know, there's a balance there, because, you know, you want to be in a place, you want to be secure in a place where you're speaking truth to people about your life and about God. Because if you can't speak truth to people, again, you're not really ready. But if you want to go and you want to be held in high esteem as a Christian, and you want people to see you as whatever in your own prideful mind, you're just not ready. And then for my leaders out there, this is why when we take the churches out, we got to make sure our people prepare, because, you know, let me say it like this. All the people on the evangelism team, people with broken and contrite hearts, are they broken people? Or do they think that they're better than the people they're going to minister to? I'll leave it right there. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Because,
amen.
You know, and I think that's important. I think that's really important, because you went, that's the first thing. You have to know who you are, where you at, and are you willing to share that with someone to the point that it can help them understand who God is because of your life, because of the things that you have been able to do. So you have to be ready. You have to be ready to tell your story. And telling your story doesn't mean leaving out the bad parts. It's telling people the good parts. I think that's where we get in trouble now when we do the gospel. We just want to tell the people the great and wonderful things, and people have a misillusion, a false conversion because they think whatever. There's a lot. But here today in Issues Christian Men's Talk, I just want to be able to plant a seed in someone, because there's folk out there who want to go out, who have a heart to reach people, but they also need to be discipled and mentored in the way to do that in the most efficient way that God can truly use them. And let me say this, too. I'm going to backtrack real quick, because in all evangelism, no matter who we are, personal, corporate, you go out as a church, you go out as a team, or individually, prayer. Are we praying for the unsaved? Are we praying for the pagan? Are we praying for the unbeliever? You know, are we praying for the stranger who may not believe, but through you might can be heard? You know, because prayer is going to be our foundation. That's some of the things we covered earlier in our evangelism boot camp, that without prayer and seeking the wisdom of God, we're not going to be able to accomplish much anyway. And I think through prayer, that will humble us a little bit. So when we're ready to go, that prepare our hearts and our minds and what we're going to say to people, because we have already spoken to the Father and we submitted ourselves to the Holy Spirit and reaching Him and being able to reach people. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about, Richard, I'm going to go to the scripture here, because that this is one of the scriptures that even highlighted that as I was studying and preparing to do to talk about this was in First Peter chapter number 3. And I'm going to read, I'm going to open it up a little bit, because I really hate taking scripture out of the context, but I'm going to spread it out. I'm going to go starting at 1 Peter chapter number 3, starting at verse 14. And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason for your hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Verse 16, having a great conscience, that whereas you speak, they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Amen. Again, we have to study. We have to be prepared to be able to give a reason for our hope, no matter what folks say to us. Because even in the midst of evangelism in these communities, when we go out, again, we're going to meet all kinds of folk out there. There's going to be people who's going to challenge you. There's going to be people that's going to try, you know, challenge what you're saying. It's not true. They're going to tell you a whole lot of things about who Christ is and who Christ isn't and what Christ is not and what the church is and all this other stuff. Now, I'm going to share something real quick because I was in neutral. I wasn't really, you know, being all Christian-y, but someone, they knew I was a Christian, you know, I was a Christian, practicing faithful Christian, and they just came at me with about pastors are pedophiles and womanizers and pastors this and pastors that, and I'm going, whoa, what happened? All I did was sit down and say hello. And this is the kind of stuff you come up against, you know, and then again, what's the answer to that? And at the time, I think back on it because this recently happened to me, and I just said, you know, yeah, you're right. I said, who are you talking about? You're going to Catholic Church? Who else? You know anybody? You know somebody, or you just throwing out because the stuff is in the news? I said, that's fine, but what is all I got to do with Christ? And, you know, we didn't get into the conversation because all they wanted to do was just throw dark and see how I respond to it. They didn't want to have a real conversation. But that's the kind of stuff we're going to run into. And that's the kind of stuff we have to know how to respond, how to take. When people do that, there's something else going on with them. They really try to throw you off guard. They think you're going to say something about Christ because you're a Christian, and then, you know, they're trying to antagonize you. But, you know, that's the kind of thing we have to consider. And I ask anybody out there who's listening, if that happened to you, how would you really respond to that? You know, because again, if we look at the culture, we look at the news, we look at what's going on, and quote unquote, and in the church and people of faith in the news, because people in the faith in the news are all the bad things, never none of the good things. But then when people come to you on a one-on-one, we have to be prepared to be able to have an answer for that. Or how are you going to deal with it? And that's what it's about, being an evangelist and being able to prepare yourself to evangelize, because people are looking for answers, because that person is still a soul in needing to come to faith and believe in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. But all this stuff is hindering their belief because they don't want to be part of that. You know, no matter what, immorality is immorality. And if people, all they hear about is the immorality and wrongdoing of quote unquote Christians, that can keep them from not believing. And then how do we respond to that on those one-on-one level? What do you say, sir?
Amen. Like you said, that's why I said wow. I don't know if you heard me as you were telling the story. So many times people want to discredit your belief or they want to discredit where you stand in faith because of their experiences or the things of the world. Understand, we are all human. We all make mistakes. What happens is, and this is a little off of the subject of, you know, our where we were headed, we all have to realize that what we do as people, and Christians do it too, the world does it, everyone does it, we set people on pedestals based on their status, based on what we perceive them, their proclamation of who they are in life. Well, if you say you're a Christian, if you say you're a Muslim, if you say you can do this, if you say you're this person, you put this title on your name or you associate yourself with this, automatically you are placed on a pedestal that if you do anything outside of that, you're no longer that. Or how can you, and I'm trying to not to talk around it, but for a person that says they're a Christian, someone who wants to discredit the fact of where you stand or your faith or isn't prepared to make that step of faith will try to talk you out of your faith by saying, oh, well, you know, such and such did this. This person that proclaimed to be a Christian or this pastor, he took money from this person. We all have to answer for our sins. And because we have become Christians, because we have proclaimed that Christ is our Lord and Savior, because we've taken that salvation, because we said those words, because we said the sinner's prayer, because we've admitted and proclaimed that God is our Savior, it doesn't mean that we are not going to sin, that we won't fall, that we won't make mistakes. And sometimes I think what people do is look at, if you make a mistake, you can't proclaim that you're of God. And we as Christians have to understand, that's a part of the understanding, knowing that God is always forgiving us. We have to come to him with a repenting heart that each and every day we're birthed as new creatures. That means what you did yesterday, you repented for and are stepping away from those things to do something different today. That's what it means when it says in the Word to be that every day we're birthed as new creatures in Christ. So we have to continue, and I'm sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties on my phone. Can you hear me, sir?
Amen, amen. I got you. Well,
okay, I'm
sorry.
Right. I'll go back.
You're right. Okay, you're good. I hear you. You're clear. You're loud.
I'm sorry. And what happens is we have to understand that just because we make a mistake or someone else makes a mistake doesn't mean that there's no validity to what we believe. And that's what people want you to feel and want you to believe. Sometimes it's not even that they want you to believe it. They just want to know what's your real standpoint. You know, I've heard so many people give arguments about, and I'll say, you know, well, I believe this, and this is my faith. Well, why would you believe that? What about such and such? You know, the arguments that we talk, people will argue the Darwinistic views as compared to the belief of God's creation, that there's no way that this happened. But if you're able to just stand in your place and say, you know what, I don't have all the arguments, but I know what I believe. Sometimes they just want to know that you truly believe, that you truly are trusting no matter what somebody throws at you, because they want something they can lean and stand upon wholeheartedly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that they don't believe, that they're not willing to trust. They just want to see, are you strong enough? And if you're strong enough, then it's a step that they can take with you. That's a part of the transparency in your testimony. When you can give a testimony that says who you are and why you are that person, why you have changed that because God brought you through something, then they can stand with you and say, you know what, I can respect that. I like that. I agree with that. I want to learn more about that. But if you're easily wavered, if someone can tell you, oh, well, this doesn't make sense because this, and you start saying, well, yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. You know, maybe so. I don't know. When you start to doubt, they start to doubt. Nobody's going to follow a person who doesn't know exactly where they're going. Nobody's going to follow someone who doesn't understand the directions that they're giving them themselves. You can't tell somebody how to get to the store if you don't know where the store is. They're not going to follow you. But if you know how to tell them exactly a concise way to get there, they're going to trust your directions, whether they know you or not. Back to you, sir.
Amen. And you know, that's correct. And that's where it goes back to, again, are we living consistent lives? Are we living consistent Christian lives? No matter what comes at us, no matter what's going on with us, are we consistent in our Christianity? Because people are watching us. And even in the midst of going out, you know, because it's a lot to it, because there's a lot of because really evangelism is not really about reaching them. It's really about us and who we are as Christians and how we represent the things of God and how we represent Christ. Are we living the image of Christ? And then when we go out, are we giving that image? Because it is that God is love. I know, I understand that God is love. God died, gave his son because of his love for us and Christ's love. But in that love, There is commitment. There's responsibility. It's just not, because God does not love sin, and that's the other thing when we go out and evangelize, that God is love, and because that's the other thing people want to come back at with you. But I'm not going to go into that today, because that's a whole other lesson. How do you respond when people tell you, well, God loves everybody? Now, us as Christians, we need to find out how to answer that. Each of us has to go into a study and understand that God is love. And then when folks tell you, well, why do I need to change if God loves everybody? How do you respond? That's your homework assignment and challenge. Amen? But let me go back. Because, you know, it's about sharing our testimonies, and it's about telling people who we are, who we were before we were Christians. I know some of you folk out there, let me clarify and give my disclaimer. I know some of y'all think y'all been saved your whole life because y'all went to church ever since you can remember. Yeah, I know. Y'all think y'all have been in church. Y'all have been saved your whole life. Okay. Now, for the rest of us, how do you, when you go out and evangelize, how do you tell folk about your life before you came and committed to Christ, before you really believed? That's one of the things you have to be able to share, and be able to share that honestly. Again, this goes back to the transparency part. The next part is how did you become a Christian? You know, the great magical evangelism question. What must I do to be saved? But what did you do to be saved and be secure in it? And how do you explain that to someone who's not been in the church their whole life? Or, again, How do you explain? How do you become a Christian to someone? And these are the things that we have to sit down and think about and reason out in our head on how we're going to share that with someone in a way that can make them understand that you were this before, but then at this point in your life, this time, you know, the conversion was made. I think about Paul. I think it's Paul in the book of Acts. Conversion was on the road to to Damascus. And he was able to share that later on before the king, his conversion story. What is our conversion story? When did we really start to believe God and trust God and live for God? And how can you share that with someone? You can, again, let me say this, because there's also we got to tell folks. When we are evangelizing, when we're doing community outreach or however we do it, you're not going to give or be afforded the time to give a whole Bible study and a whole sermon. But this is why we talk about preparing yourself to go out and preparing your testimony to share this in a conversation with someone again. And that's why we have to be a mentor and disciple in evangelism so that we can be able to speak to people in a way that we first will be confident, we're transparent, that we can tell someone about before we were Christians and then how we became that point of conversion. What do you say, sir, about that, sharing that on how?
Well, like you said, that's a part of transparency because we all, you know, I was laughing when you said, you know, the disclaimer you threw out that, you know, we just because you've been going to church doesn't mean you're saved. Doesn't mean you've been in church all your life. So when your grandmother took you to church when you were 2 and 3 years old and you've been going to church ever since, you still have to proclaim who God is, and you still have to confess who God is. You still have to confess God as your Savior. You still have to acknowledge that He is your Creator, that He is the Almighty Father. That's all a part of our salvation and how we came to Christ. For some of us, it was an event in our life that made us change our mind. For some of us, it was because we were in church and our desire was a closer relationship with God, a better understanding of why we had been going to church all of our lives. We said the sinner's prayer. Some of us walked up to the altar and stood with groups of people and said the sinner's prayer together. Some of us were introduced in other places. It may have been, you know, it could have been in the market, in the grocery store, because someone was willing to evangelize and speak. But all of us have to recognize that there is a place where you truly have to confess that Christ is Lord. That's where it's at. That's a part of the testimony. When did you do it? How did you do it? What caused you to do it? For me, I had been in church all my life and didn't finally realized that I wasn't saved just because I was in church, because church didn't change anything for me. Church was Sunday, but then the rest of the week was a worldly life. But when sickness and illness came about and I had no other place to turn and I prayed to God, I knew what it meant to pray. But my prayer was different. God, show me something different, because the way I'm doing things isn't working and I don't want to continue the way I'm doing things. And something changed in my heart, my mind, and my desire changed. The Spirit came upon me that my desire changed. I wanted to be different. I wanted to see things different. I wanted a different understanding. And every day I'm growing closer and closer to God. And I know I'll never stop growing. And I pray my mind and the temptations and the vices of life will never take me back to where I was. Because I know we can all fall. But yeah, it's about letting somebody know, letting others sharing how you got there, why you got there. You know, what's the English thing of how to write a story, the who, what, the when, where, and why? All those things are a part of who you are and a part of your walk. What did it? Why did you do it? When did you do it? All of us may have a different story, but all of those things give glory and honor to God, because it shows that God was in the midst, that God was the reason that you changed, that the glory of God came upon you that allowed you to see life in a different way and gave you a desire and a heart and a mind to change from the ways of the world. Back to you, sir.
Amen. That point of conversion, that time of conversion, and I agree with what you're saying. again, in Scripture, all the apostles, there was a time when they believed Jesus. There was a conversion time. There was a point in their life. And that's what we ought to go invigorate to share. Again, I encourage everyone who's listening, read your Scripture, read the stories of conversion in the Bible, when Paul went out, when Peter went out to evangelize and to reach people. You know, there was a conversion story. So can you tell your conversion story, when the point where you believed God and you started living for God, for faithful for God? And that's what we do when we evangelize. Again, this is about transparency. You know, because when you tell people you've been going to church your whole life and Jesus, God has been good to me, and, you know, someone that doesn't mean much to someone who's never believed and doesn't understand the gospel. Because God could have done and saved you from a lot of stuff because your grandmother took you to church and your mother took you to church and you couldn't do things and all these other things. That's fine. But now that even when you evangelize now for my church folk, even when you evangelize now as a full-grown person, so you're going to tell me you obeyed everything that you were taught as a child? And if you didn't, were you like really saved until you came to the point where you had to confess and start living for God faithfully, consistently, without the threat of your mama and your grandmama? I'm just saying. I'm going to let that go right there. But right now, well, again, we're talking about evangelism. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here with Elder Mark. And we're just talking about preparing the church for going out, preparing the church for evangelism. And again, when we say the church, we're saying we are the church. We're individually the church, corporately we're the church. It's not about the building. It's about us going out and sharing the truth and the love of Jesus Christ with unbeliever and the lost, that they might too be saved and be saved from the wrath of God and the punishment of God that every man, every human being is destined for unless they come to faith in Jesus Christ and knowing and sharing the good news of the gospel of his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection with a lost and dying world. And that's how we're going to change hearts of people, change cultures, governments, families, communities. It's by knowing the love of God and letting the Holy Spirit lead people's lives and guide and direct them in this everyday walk. Amen? Amen. You can also, if you're listening online, at 646-668-2636, you press 1 on your keypad, you can come in, join the conversation, share your insights, wisdom, ask a question. For those of you listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, we thank you for joining us. We see you there. We just thank you for listening in. If you ever want to reach out to us, you can go on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can reach out to us, inbox us there, leave us comments and messages. Also, you can go on, we're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter, Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can tweet us, follow us there. On both the Twitter and on the Facebook page, we share our upcoming men's events going, words of encouragement, devotionals. You know, because we're here, we want to support men as they grow in Christ, bring men to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and those in the church to encourage them in the things of Christ as they lead in their homes, lead in their families, lead in the communities, and lead in the church. And we're here again every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and Saturdays at 9 a.m. And for 2019, we're going to be we started the year kind of slow, but we're going to have a lot of live. We're going to have some downloads. We're going to have a different guest and different talk because we just want to encourage the body of Christ, the men in the body of Christ, and that they can be better husbands and fathers and sons, that God can get the glory, that the church can be planted, the church can move on from generation to generation, that the word of God would be consistent, and that men who are in the church who are struggling with the issues of life, don't give up. Don't let the enemy win, no matter what you're going through. Seek God, seek his word, seek the counsel, seek the fellowship of men who can encourage you through. Because trust me and believe me, in the room, in any congregation that you're in, there's men that's been through what you've been through, going through what you're going through, and they can help you and stand by you and support you. Because you may not be rescued and taken out. God's not going to remove you from everything, but he's going to go through it with you. That you can come out on the side, that you can minister to someone else. Because, again, our salvation is not just about us. It's about those around us, those in our circle of influence, who we can be able to reach and touch and share the truth about what God has done and who Jesus Christ is. Amen? Amen. Amen. So far we touched on three things. We had three things we're going to touch on as we prepare your testimony when you go out to evangelize to the world. Just telling your story before you were saved, telling your story how, and then after. And I think that's important because we have to understand that there should be a change in life. The Bible says we are a new creature. We are a new man. We have a changed heart. So if you can share with someone your life after coming to Christ and not, and like again, you know, I've talked about this in the beginning, you know, being a Christian is not all glory, angels, everything's going well, I've got favor, everything I do, everything I touch turns to gold. That's not the Christ. That's not the God we serve. That's not the gospel. That's not the Christian life. Again, I retreat back to the scripture. If we spend time in the scripture and understand what the believers went through, this is what we need to prepare our faith for. This is what we need to be able to prepare people for. Because anybody who's been in the church a while has known people who've come to church, left the church, church hurt, got an attitude with pastors, got an attitude with folk in the church, can't take correction, can't be held accountable. And then we worry about the world persecuting the church. We have folk who come into some kind of easy conversion, easy think it's going to come to Christ and everything's going to go their way type believing, but nowhere else in their life they have that expectation. So again, it's about sharing and being honest and transparent on our life after Christ. What has God done for you? I know God has done a lot of us, but then yet in the body of Christ, I still have these issues because I have to get up every day, go to work every day, deal with people every day, stay married to my wife, raise my children, go to work, deal with my in-laws, parents, coworkers, crazy cousins, life, what's going on in society, all that. But yet I have God inside. And that's the thing that some people need to share because, again, if we give people the illusion that once they come to Christ and become a believer and come committed to Christ, that their whole life is going to change and get better for this material world, we've lied. You have lied. If you ever promise somebody that they was going to get better and this and that and find a husband and find a wife because they came to Christ, Brother Elder, I'm going to let you go because I may not stop, but I'm going to let you about the importance of sharing our life, our experience as a Christian and how God has kept us. What do you say, sir?
And it all goes to because, you know, maybe this is pulling on me so hard because I've listened to so many people give a testimony, and I've heard people that in ministries I was connected to before, men that will talk about who they are now, but leave out where they were, and then expect a person who's struggling with something to be connected. I'm gonna put it like this. If you try to show everybody that you're wrapped in a three-piece suit, that you never wore jeans and a t-shirt, and you never wore jeans and a t-shirt, they don't know how to get out of their place to where you are. They feel like you can't show me anything because you've always looked like this. You've always been the one in the front. You've always been the one that can lift their hands and praise. You've always been the one that was ready to pray. You've always been that. You've never been in a slump. You've never worried about your finances. You've never dealt with drugs. When people see that, and that's what you portray, that you are the holier than thou that has never made a mistake in God, and everything has always worked out, then they don't feel like God changed anything for you. So why would they believe that God can change something for them? If you never needed changing, how can you relate to the person who needs to be changed? A lot of times we share where we are right now and leave out who we were, and the person trying to get to where we are now or trying to get to a better place, not that they compare themselves to us, but they're trying to get to a better place. They think you've never experienced anything. I can't relate to you. How can you tell a person who's an alcoholic about being delivered from addiction to alcohol, drug addiction, or you know, being dependent upon alcohol and addiction to alcohol? How can you tell them about being delivered from that if they don't and expect them to relate to you if you've never dealt with an addiction to anything, if you've never had a vice that you had to pray about about God delivering you from. If you've never done anything wrong, you lived a perfect life, how can you tell me about fixing mine? You don't have any experience to relate to. But when you're transparent and let someone know, hey, I suffered, I struggled, I'm in a better place now, I still have issues, that person now wants to hear more about the God that you serve, because it shows a God that can do something for you, not the God that just maintains you because you were already good. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And that's where we, as the church, as the body of Christ, as believers, can we share in honesty and transparency our story, our conversion story. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I wonder real quick, we have someone on the line who wanted to come in and share. I wanted to bring them in. I'm close to wrapping up here, but I just wanted to give an opportunity to ask a question or share. The last four numbers are 4995. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. My name is our Elder Edward Glasper, if you can hear me.
Yes, sir. We hear you loud and clear. How are you, Elder?
Okay. I found out about you. Your blog talk by Elder Mark Garnes. And I was listening at the conversation from the beginning, and transparency, we as believers, sometimes we do not want to bring out where we come from because we still have a measure of shame about it. But
Amen.
If you're going to be free and witness to someone, you have to be totally free, totally transparent. Give them the story from the inside out, where you started. You didn't start at the point you are now. You started from the beginning. You started from the place where doors were slammed in your face. You started from when you were out there running the streets, where you were out there committing adultery, smoking the weed, and doing et cetera, everything you were big enough to do. But you hit that, most of us won't talk about the point where we hit almost rock bottom and we had to look up to Jesus instead of letting somebody just share that with them, but let them know that you love. You have to have a heart for the people. You have to have that love, because we're under the dispensation of grace, and we're loved by the Lord. This is why we are where we are now. It's a constant daily issue. One thing or another, the issues of life don't go away. But God, what you do for God is forever. And you have to have the same way you live life when you were unsaved, with that same passion, it has to be double now. Because God will not turn. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is forever. It does not go away. And people have to understand, you got the word. You don't have a testimony unless you've been tested. And that's what it's all about. This is what it is. I have two teenage sons. I let them know, son, it's out there on the asphalt. It's real life. Just because you're saved don't mean the test comes. What it means is the tests are going to come, because more and more effectively, because they think the enemy, just like God knows your weakness, the enemy knows your weaknesses also. But you have to understand that we have a mediator. We have somebody that's going to have our back. They also have to know that we call it the daily repentance. We also have to understand that we're constantly loved. Nothing and nothing. God has, he had died over 2,000 years ago for the sin that you have committed, you're committing, and you will commit. But most people have to understand that God is for you. He loves you. You're loved. And you have to be able to stand no matter what. You have to stand. You have to love him with everything in you. You can't tell an unbeliever these things if you're not practicing it yourself. You have
Amen.
To believe.
Amen. And I agree. You know, it is about consistency, and it's about transparency and what we've been through and the goodness of God. But then we also have to let folks know that, you know, we have to be able to say, you know, God has a purpose for every human being, every person on earth. He has a purpose. You know, the elders shared about, you know, the things that we did, the lives we lived before. We were passionate and faithful to that thing. And even in the midst of, it's that same passion that we bring to God. Because God knows who we are. He knows what's inside of us. And he made us. So even in the midst of getting people to understand that God created them. And that's the other thing we have to be able to, when we talk to unbelievers, that we are not special. That the thing that God has done for me, he can do, he will do for you. But he seeks your obedience. He seeks for you to believe his word, to live his word, to understand the word. And then also, the brother shared about his two sons. And it's about generational. Because the people closest to us are the people that we, you know, because we all, I remember, folk get saved and they want to tell everybody and their family about coming to Christ and coming to church. But those are the people that just hardest, because they're with you every day and they see what you do under all circumstances, not just Sunday. So they see you and see if is your life really changing. Because you can always say stuff to people, but they're watching you. Because they knew you. They ran with you. They live in your house, from sons and wives and your mother, your cousins. You know, I've known testimonies of brothers who said their mothers came to Christ because they seen the change in them. Because they knew exactly who their son was. You know, we always have mothers out here crying about their son, this, that. But their mothers know who their sons and children are, and yet they see the change of what they did when their faith was real. And that caused them to come to see and to know God. So, again, it's about the, and when we're talking about evangelism, we're talking about when we go out to strangers, are we willing to share? And this is the thing that we're talking about here, that are we preparing to go and share an evangelism message? How do we reach people? How do we speak to people? Amen? Are we willing to share the before we were saved life, the things that we, that who we were before, our life after, our life at conversion, at what point did we realize that we come to Christ and believe Christ? What was our conversion experience? Because everyone doesn't get it the same. Some people don't get it. It's not a light on the side of the road and Christ speaks to them. It's a conversion because they've heard the gospel. They've been coming to church. They heard the gospel. And at one point, it just clicks that this thing is true, that God's got it better. And also, and again, it goes back to prayer. Are we praying for the unbeliever in our homes, in our communities, in our neighborhoods? Are we really praying for the unbeliever? People we know who don't believe God, are we praying for them by name? Because it's all prayer. Because remember, salvation is not a man thing. It's a supernatural God thing. And God is going to call those who he already predestined. And we are just to pray and be faithful to the thing and be faithful to the Great Commission. And we're planting seeds in the lives of people, and God's going to do the work. Because, again, one of the other things we talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is there could be one soul out there that's only going to receive from you. He's not going to receive from your pastor. He's not going to receive from televangelists. He's not going to receive from whoever. But it's only your voice they'll be able to hear and see God that will cause their soul to be redeemed, and that they will come and repent before God and come into the kingdom. But we have to be faithful in doing that, where we're planting seeds in all those around us, and those who know us and those who don't know us. Amen. Elder Mark, I'm going to come to you, brother. I'm going to let you close out, and I'll close us out in prayer real quick. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're here every Monday at 8 p.m., every Saturday at 9 a.m., and every Thursday at 8 p.m. We encourage you to call and join us at 646-668-2636. And also go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you connect with us on Facebook and at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And we thank you, all those who are listening, who have called in, and those who are listening online. Elder Mark, you got the closing comments, and close us out in prayer, sir. And again, thank you, brother. for giving you give me an hour on Saturday mornings to be part of the conversation.
And as always, sir, it's a blessing, an honor, and pleasure to be on the show with you. Thank you for the opportunity. Real quick, that article that you had shared with me, I just wanted to share those. It's five basic parts to your testimony, and then we're going to close out in prayer. And those five parts, when we are developing and putting together this concise testimony that you can share, whether it be in church or whether it be in the grocery store, the opening is just the frame of your story. You know, what did your life revolve around? What was your reputation? Who was it? Were you about money? What did you do? And then your life before Christ. You know, number two, your life before Christ. You're painting a picture of what your life was like before you came to Christ. What did you dwell on? What did you dwell on? What did you brag about? What was your struggles? And then how you came to Christ. What introduced you to giving or to changing your life? What introduced you to salvation? What was your changing point? What was your conversion point? And then your life after coming to Christ. Where are you now? How are you growing? What's going on with your life? What's different than where you were? And then the closing, just summarizing where you were, who you were, what God delivered you from, how you saw salvation, what brought you to that conversion point, and where you're living now. What are you doing with your life now? And why are you doing it? Are you doing it in the glory of God, and what you're doing with your time, with your talents? Are you using those for the glory of God? And that's your testimony. Each and every one of us will have a different story. We'll all have different things. Some of the things may intertwine and relate, but none of us will have the exact same story. And like Deacon Farr said, every one of us have a particular person that we're set forth to reach. So your testimony, your transparency is important, not just for you to know where you were, not for you to just tell a story, but for you truly to save someone else's life. Think about it. If you're not transparent and willing to share your testimony, and the person that needs to hear about who you were doesn't hear on the day that he says he's ready to kill himself, that person's blood is on your hands because you didn't deliver the testimony that God brought you through. You didn't share what God did for you. Because we are not just vessels to receive. We are conduits that we will continue and share what God poured into us so that another person can be blessed. And then that person will turn around and be a blessing to someone else. That's one of the things I love about the ministry that I'm with, New Vision for Life, is the circle of blessings. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that you continue to work on us, Lord God. You continue to allow us through our testimony to share, Lord God, the glory, the honor, the power, the strength that truly comes from you, Lord God, that you dwell within us each and every day. And as we profess who you are, Lord God, the world around, Lord God, this dark world can see the light that is you. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share our testimony. We thank you for the strength to stand and be transparent about who we were, where we're moving to, Lord God, and all that you have done for us, Lord God, for you are continuing to do greater than what you did yesterday, even more than what you were doing now, and continuing to work on us tomorrow. So we thank you, we honor you, and bless you, Lord God, for truly there is none like you. We thank you and ask for your forgiveness of our sins as you move us into a greater place. We give you honor for this time of fellowship to learn more of you and thus of ourselves as we pray to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you.
God bless.